NBC News presents a special report on the unprecedented speech by Russian Premier Khrushchev to the Russian people on Cold War issues over Russian radio and television. Khrushchev reports. And now to bring you the report, here is NBC News correspondent Joseph Michaels.
Today, Nikita Khrushchev told the Russian people about the Vienna meeting with President Kennedy. And for millions of Soviet citizens, it must have come like a sudden onslaught from one of their own Arctic winds. Unlike Americans, they had had no previous preparations. None of the rumors of time limits on Berlin, none of the sobering reports of continued disagreement on Cold War issues had been heard previously in Russia. The press, in its accustomed role of communism's voice, had reported merely that Mr. Khrushchev was satisfied. The backroom chatter of diplomats so precious to Western newsmen went unreported on Radio Moscow. Chairman Khrushchev had returned home quietly, omitting the usual rally at the big indoor Lenin Arena at which he so often made his report to the cheers of the party faithful. He had established his carefree state of mind by dancing happily and making proletarian quips at an Indonesian embassy party, but had said nothing. Today, in fireside chat style, he came before TV cameras and microphones to tell the Russian people the stand upon which he had determined. What they heard about Berlin must have been sobering indeed. Here, as translated for NBC by Ross Leveroff, are his words.
The Soviet Union proposes that the political and social regime of the West Berlin should be whichever its inhabitants wish it to be. That means there are no attempts upon the freedom of West Berlin. International norms should be followed in carrying on communication with Berlin by respecting the rights and with the agreement of the government of the country through which communications to West Berlin would be carried on. Such a situation is considered to be a normal one. Then why should it be considered abnormal to ask the German Democratic Republic for permission to go through it to Berlin? Its territory is the one which is crossed by the water and land routes to Western Berlin. The air routes are also over that republic's territory. And this is why, after the signing of a peace treaty, those countries which wish to carry on communication with Western Berlin should have to agree. They should have to discuss this with the government of the German Democratic Republic concerning the method of communication with West Berlin. If any country would violate peace and cross foreign borders by water, air, or land, it would take all responsibility for the resulting aggression and it would be thrown back. We do not wish another world war. We wish peace. The Soviet people have reached a good understanding with the Germans of the East Germany. Between the Soviet Union and the German Democratic Republic, the very best relations have resulted. Because of this, the Soviet Union proposes to sign a peace treaty in Germany together with all other countries. The peace treaty signing cannot be postponed anymore. This year, peace in West Europe must be signed.
Up until this time, Khrushchev had said frequently that unless the West was prepared to cooperate, Russia and the other so-called socialist states would find it necessary to go ahead and sign a separate peace treaty with East Germany on their own. But always before, he had carefully avoided the final step of giving this ultimatum a time limit and a date. Today, he took that step. What does it mean translated into practical measures? Here are the views of John Chancellor, NBC's Moscow correspondent.
There seems to be no doubt that Nikita Khrushchev was talking about Germany and Berlin when he said today that a peace settlement in Europe must be accomplished this year. There has been doubt in the past of the Soviet leader's determination to force a major showdown on the future of Berlin. The Russians have been crying wolf on Berlin since 1958, and some observers feel that the Soviets are perhaps not quite ready to go to the mat for a solution to their problem. However, in his presentation today, while he said nothing precisely new, Mr. Khrushchev did give some reasons for believing that this time he may mean it. The Soviet leader appeared in an unusual role. Instead of delivering his Vienna report to a hall full of party people and diplomats, he spoke directly on radio and television to a wide Soviet audience. If Mr. Khrushchev does not move on Berlin and Germany this year, he will lose face at home. Secondly, the slate will be much clearer for the Soviet Union in November and December of this year. Many domestic and political projects must be brought to completion this summer and early autumn in time for the 22nd Party Congress, which opens on October 17th. Involvement in a move on Berlin would be politically inappropriate at that time. In addition, closing off the routes of Western access to Berlin is easier in the winter than it is in the summer. The canals to the city freeze and air routes are often fogged, leaving only rail and highway traffic. All of these factors, then, combine to indicate that the Soviets may offer the West some hard choices on Berlin around Christmas time. The campaign will not get tough this summer, but a crisis in midwinter cannot be ruled out. John Chancellor, NBC News.
Those most immediately concerned are, of course, the people of West Berlin, West Germany, and their governments, living as they have under the menace of the Russian hammer for 16 years. Once again, the pressure is on them. The first reaction from NBC correspondent Piers Anderton in West Berlin.
West German government sources are saying that Khrushchev's speech tonight and the press conference this morning by East German boss Walter Ulbricht looked like a combined effort. Ulbricht was asked by reporters if the German problem would have to be settled in 1961. He replied that Khrushchev would answer that precisely tonight, but Khrushchev answered imprecisely. The Russian leader did say that there must be a peace settlement this year, but he left it open with whom it would be signed. On his second major point, Ulbricht said that if planes fly over East German territory without his approval, they will be forced down, and that he has consulted with his Soviet friends about the contingency of a Western tank column forcing its way through a border blockade. Tonight, Khrushchev backed him up by warning that it is Russia's holy duty to defend the sovereignty of East Germany on land, water, and air. Khrushchev did not go into the problem of refugees escaping East Germany, but Ulbricht definitely did. The East German dictator said flying out of refugees would have to be halted, refugee camps in West Berlin would be shut down, and movement back and forth across the border would be severely restricted. West Germany said tonight that Ulbricht is not worth a comment, but the West German government did reject tonight Senator Mansfield's plan to make all Berlin a free city. Piers Anderton, NBC News, Berlin.
But Khrushchev was not confining his blows to the German problem. Mankind has lived under the shadow of a mushroom cloud since Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Fear, genuine fear, stalks the world, and there is a cry for peace and sanity at long last. Mr. Khrushchev exploits this word peace, uses it at every opportunity, and insists that it can be obtained by following his simple prescription. Here again are Premier Khrushchev's own words about disarmament.
The Western governments are afraid to say honestly to all of society that they don't wish to discuss disarmament with the Soviet Union. And the capitalist monopolies are getting rich on the armaments race, and they very seriously continue it. But in order to cover this up, they must have at least a semblance of discussions on disarmament. So they have elected the diplomatic approach without actually denying to be willing to discuss this question, but only putting up a semblance of it. An entire system has been worked out how to continue the disarmament debates. The proposal of complete and general disarmament, which the Soviet government had proposed many times in the General Assembly of the United Nations, is a good basis for the solution of the problem of disarmament. And if our proposals will be accepted, then people will be completely free and always free of the threat of nuclear and rocket warfare. We have declared, and I categorically repeat it at this time, that if the Western governments agree to complete and general disarmament, then the Soviet Union is prepared to accept any system of control which the Western governments would wish. Despite this, the Western nations maintain that supposedly the Soviet Union's position on the control question is the real barrier to disarmament, and they in no way can get together with us on this question. I repeat again, the Soviet Union is for strict and effective international control. We are prepared to accept your suggestions about control, Mr. President of the United States, but please, you must accept all our proposals concerning complete and general disarmament, and then there would be no dead ends in the discussions and of disarmament. We wish for honest disarmament. We want to ensure completely equal conditions for all governments to disarm, so that no one at no time would be able to use disarmament for its own favor and to the disadvantage of other countries.
The same formula advanced at the UN 2 years ago repeated, but now with the added demand that atomic ban talks should be included in these negotiations. This, Khrushchev said today, is now a must. But it's all really very simple. The West must agree to a blanket disarmament pledge now and take the Russian word for it, and the Soviets will agree to anything the West says on controls later. As though negotiations with Russia have always been a primrose path, as though the Soviet pledged word has never been broken. As though, in fact, it has not already been broken since Vienna on the question of Laos. Here on that subject is Mr. Khrushchev again.
During my meeting in Vienna, an exchange of opinions also took place about the Laos situation and a peaceful regulation of the Laos question. In the communique on this subject, the communique contains a statement that that the President Kennedy and the Soviet Union head of the government defends a position that calls for a Laos government to be headed by a person selected by Laos itself. And also it is in favor of the Laotian people of being a neutralist country, and they also wish for a complete and effective ceasefire in Laos. The Laos people are a peace-loving people. This people never threatened anyone, and it was not a source of tension until the imperialists decided to turn Laos into a military battlefield, a base for the preparation of aggression. Against the lawful government of Prince Suvarnabhumi, a rebellion was organized. The rebels received arms of the United States and their allies. Peace in that country was disturbed. A war began, which threatened to become a great fire because of intervention from the outside, and the complications arose in the East and Asia situation. The Americans do not deny now that the previous government of the United States was responsible for the Laotian crisis, and its policy in that area of the world has not always been the wisest one. In March of this year, Mr. Kennedy has declared that his government shall be for a neutral and independent Laos. As far as the Soviet Union is concerned, we have always before and still now maintain that Laos should be independent and a neutral government, and it should not be a weapon in the hands of the armament blocs, and so that no one would be able to interfere in the internal affairs of that country. In such a way, before the meeting in Vienna, there were enough bases to reach a peaceful regulation of the Laos affairs. During my discussion with President Kennedy of the Laos question, we developed a unified approach. I've declared that in order to settle this question, it would be necessary to ensure the creation of a neutral and independent Laos, but external questions should be completely divorced from this question. The internal policies of Laos cannot be determined, neither by the Soviet Union, nor by the United States, nor by other governments.
Mr. Khrushchev, talking to the Russian people, does not even mention the continuing Soviet airlift. The presence of American advisors becomes a violation of the ceasefire. There is apparently nothing wrong with last week's leftist assault on the village of Padang, nothing wrong with yesterday's attacks on two royalist-held posts. Whether he means what he says or not, this talk with these actions adds up to a bitter-tasting dish. Yet with all this, Chairman Khrushchev still finds food for satisfaction in the Vienna conversations.
Here is what I would like to tell you, comrades, about our talks with the President of the United States of America. I have to note that, generally speaking, I was very happy with the meeting. If you should ask me, was it worthwhile to have this meeting? I would say, without any reflection, I would say that such a meeting was a very worthwhile one, and it was necessary to hold such a meeting at the time. During our talks with the President of the United States, neither one nor the other side refrained from discussion of any of the most sharp questions. We can say that a very honest discussion was being carried on. We were carefully attentive to the opinions of the United States, and we have exactly and in detail explained the position of the Soviet government on international questions. That alone has a great importance. No one had really expected that we should achieve complete agreement, because our aims are so widely divergent. I had the impression that President Kennedy understands the great responsibility which is carried by two such powerful governments. It would be nice to think that such relations and such realization will also remain in the future in order to be able to solve international questions and to remove the rocks on the path to peace and to improve the relationships between the United States and the Soviet Union.
From whence derives this sense of satisfaction, considering the total lack of agreement on all major points, it is hard to say. But perhaps there are other considerations in this area not clearly visible on this side of the ocean. At any rate, there were others who found a basis for optimism in the report. Here is Joseph C. Harsh in London.
Nikita Khrushchev's so-called report on Vienna is not seriously disturbing the Foreign Office or Western diplomats here in London tonight. For the most part, what Khrushchev said is regarded as old hat. The extra toughness of tone on Berlin is noted, but taken to be normal under the circumstances. The most interesting part of the speech to friends and allies is the Khrushchev remark that he and the president had formed a sort of working team for peace. This is taken to mean that the Russian leader parted from the president in disagreement and also mutual personal respect, and that Mr. Khrushchev thinks there's a future for such two-man meetings. The British Foreign Office regards this as an extremely good idea. It had become distrustful of old-style summits and likes the direct, brief Kennedy-Khrushchev type of meeting much better. The hope here tonight is that there will be more meetings of this kind between the same two men, not to reach agreements, but to keep the lines of contact open within a framework of civility. This is Joseph C. Harsh of NBC News in London.
Official Washington was certainly not in accord. For the reaction of interested American observers, here is Robert Abernathy in Washington.
On the record, the White House and Department of State, even members of Congress, are showing a remarkable reluctance to comment on Mr. Khrushchev's speech today. One reason is that it takes more than just a few hours for the full text of a speech this long to be reproduced, translated, and studied. But those to whom NBC and other reporters have spoken privately have expressed considerable concern, primarily about what they think is the greater likelihood now of another real crisis over West Berlin. Mr. Khrushchev's demand for an overall German settlement this year was not new, even though he had not put any time limit on his position when he spoke with President Kennedy in Vienna. But what worries some observers here is that even after Vienna, where Mr. Kennedy made it clear that the U.S. would fight if necessary for Western rights in West Berlin, even after this, Khrushchev is calling for a type of German settlement we have always held unacceptable. So it looks to some Washington observers as if Mr. Khrushchev did not believe Mr. Kennedy in Vienna. This, they point out, is dangerous. In this atmosphere, the whole question of American willingness to fight if necessary over Berlin was reopened here yesterday by no less important a man than Mike Mansfield of Montana, the Democratic leader in the Senate. As he'd done before, Mansfield urged that a third way be found to settle the Berlin problem, a way between the formal positions of the U.S. and the Soviet. Mansfield recommended that all Berlin be made a free city under international protection. He warned that continuing things as they are could lead only to nuclear war. Mansfield's call for new thinking on this country's Berlin position was seconded by the Democratic assistant leader in the Senate, Hubert Humphrey. Some observers, for instance, Republican Senator Case of South Dakota, called Mansfield's speech refreshing. But it's known that some of President Kennedy's advisors are disturbed by what Senator Mansfield said, feeling that this makes it seem as if the American government is divided. And today, Senator Everett Dirksen and Congressman Charles Halleck, the Republican leaders at the Capitol, said Senator Mansfield's remarks could not help but make foreign observers wonder what American Berlin policy really is. They called on the president to make this clear. At the White House, the assistant press secretary said he would have to withhold comment for the present on the Dirksen-Halleck demand. Out of all this, this seems to be the situation here. There is concern that Mr. Khrushchev is underestimating American determination to fight if necessary for Western rights in Berlin. There is concern that this apparent miscalculation, the very thing the president tried to prevent at Vienna, this miscalculation could bring us all to the brink of war. There is mixed opinion on the value of Senator Mansfield's call for review of U.S. Berlin policy. Some think it's high time. Others think it was a serious blow to the kind of estimate of American will Mr. Kennedy tried to give Mr. Khrushchev in Vienna. Robert Abernethy, NBC News, Washington.
In sum, the Russian chief's principal point was that if the West will not join in a peace treaty with two Germanies and a separated West Berlin by year's end, the communist states will negotiate such a treaty without them. If we should then refuse to negotiate for passage to West Berlin with communist East Germany and find it necessary to protect West Berlin's integrity by force, we will be met in turn by Soviet force. This is an ultimatum. There is no other proper word. Chairman Khrushchev further declares that our unreasonable demands have wrecked the atomic ban talks, and anyway, he is now convinced that these and general disarmament must be combined. Disarmament must follow the pattern already laid out by him at his United Nations speech of 2 years ago. To this, however, is apparently added the new concept of the Troika, that is, all agreements must come under a three-headed control body whose three heads, to reach any conclusion, must all nod together. Laos should be neutral, but it is we who are making the trouble there, not the communist side. We must accept this situation, says Mr. Khrushchev, and go back to the negotiating table. But the biggest problem still remains Berlin. It was not a speech to convert the pessimists. It was, in fact, a speech promising nothing but still more storm-torn horizons for an already troubled world. Joseph Michaels, NBC News.
This special program on Premier Khrushchev's speech to the Russian people on the Cold War issues was produced by NBC News, another in the continuing series of special in-depth news reports on NBC Radio on the major news stories and events of our time, presented in the interest of greater public knowledge and understanding of the world in which we live. Tonight's program was produced by Art Wakely and Ray Hassan. Director, Daniel Sutter. The Berlin Crisis, an emphasis report by Robert McCormick, tomorrow on NBC Radio.